Welcome to room 4216. I'm so glad you've come.
Hi, Cecilia.
Hi, Pastor Dave.
Oh, you sound a little down today. Are you down a bit today?
Well, I'm fine, thank you.
Well, let me tell you some simple teacher-kid jokes. Maybe that'll pick up your spirits. How is that? A teacher said to one of the students, Maria, will you go up to the board and please point out North America? So Maria got up, went to the board, pointed North America. The teacher said, good job, Maria. And then the teacher turns to the class and says, and who discovered America? And the class says, Maria.
That's awful.
The teacher says to Johnny, Johnny, why are you doing your math assignment here on the floor? Johnny said, well, you told me not to use tables when I'm doing my math.
As in multiplication tables. Okay.
The teacher asked Donald, what is the chemical formula of water? And Donald responds, HIJKLMNO. The teacher says, what are you talking about? And Donald said, yesterday you said it's H2O.
All right. You got me on that one.
Teacher says, name one important thing today, class, that we didn't have 10 years ago. One of the students raised her hand and said, me.
Aww.
The teacher says to Glenn, why do you always get so dirty? Glenn responded, well, I'm a lot closer to the ground than you are.
He does have a point.
The teacher said, George Washington not only chopped down the cherry tree of his father's cherry tree with an axe, but also admitted it. Now, Lewis, do you know why his father didn't punish him? Lewis responded, because George still had the axe in his hand.
Okay, then.
The Sunday school teacher says to one of the students, Franklin, please tell me, do you say your prayers, especially the prayers before a meal? And Franklin said, no, I don't have to. My mom is a good cook. That's the laughter I like to hear. Cecilia's doing better. Let's all go into room 4216 and hear from God's word and have our souls cheered up as well. And now we bring you, hot from the press, a story out east.
Now, wait a minute. The story out east? I mean, it's a modern day story.
It's a story out east because that's what it says here on the script. And I am the narrator. You, little girl, go sit in the corner.
Okay.
Anyway, Danny has an idea for a new company.
I have an idea for a new business. It'll be great. It'll be fantastic. Everybody chews bubblegum. It'll be bubblegum. And I'll call it Wozer's Bubblegum. Yeah. Oh, it'll be fantastic. It'll be great. It'll be wonderful. Oh, and I got some great ideas for some new flavors. Rip Roaring Raspberry. Oh, yummy, yummy, yummy. Crappity Grape. Yazzy Yellow. No, that's no flavor. That's just a color. Oh, Yazzy Yellow Yuzu. That's a fruit, by the way, everybody. Yuzu. That's a fruit, in case you didn't know that. Yep. And then Bursting Blueberry and Popping Pineapple. Awesome Apple. Magical Mango. Bizarre Banana. That's one of my favorites. Bizarre Banana. But to do this company right, I'm just absolutely too busy. I have too many things going on that there's no way I can manage all of these things.
Excuse me there. You're too busy doing what? It seems to me I see you just sitting there with your feet up on the desk. So what are you too busy doing?
Counting flowers on the wall. That don't bother me at all. Play solitaire till dawn with the deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.
Oh, who should I hire? Who's good? Who's up for this job? Who can manage my system and make me some money, 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 money? I know. Oh, sister. Danielle. Would you be my manager?
Sure. Got degree. Handle this.
Months went by and the company grew leaps and bounds, making money hand over fist. Often wondered what that meant, hand over fist. Although in your case there, Danielle, I should probably say bubbles over bubble, as I'm here you chew your bubblegum. But
not happy.
Why aren't you happy?
Why him?
Why him? Can you elaborate on that, please?
Song tells.
Money, money, money must be funny in a rich man's world. Money, money, money always sunny in a rich man's world.
The next month, Danielle develops a plan.
Yep.
Can you elaborate on that there, Miss Danielle?
Nope. Secret.
This does not sound good at all. At this point, I must ask myself, am I just a reporter only? Or do I have a moral obligation to make things right? To be a whistleblower? I've always wanted to be a whistleblower.
Oh, Danny boy! Did you know that your fast-growing, world-developed business has a problem with accounting, inventory, and disbursements?
What? Problem? What do you mean? A problem? I have a problem? Accounting? Inventory? Disbursements? Oh, sister!
What now?
I've been hearing some things, and so I did some checking on you. And you know what I found out when I did some checking on you and when I heard these things? I did some investigation, and I followed through, and you know what I found out?
Red-handed.
What do you mean, red-handed? Did you get some your hands into a dye? Did you put on some paint? Did you get your lipstick off on your hands? Or even worse, did you get into our raspberry bubble gum and get it? Oh, that stuff can be such a mess.
Nope. Got me. Guilty.
Well, since you're the only one who does the books, you'll have to wrap them up this afternoon, and I want them on my desk tonight at 5 o'clock. You can no longer be my manager.
With that news, Danielle goes back to her desk and looks at her books.
What now? Lost job. Can't paint. Can't type. Can't cook, won't beg, sing. La 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 la.
I don't think so there, Miss Danielle. I think that's got to go on the no list.
Then what? Think. Got it. George. What do you owe? 800? Make it 400. How does that sound to you? Sam? What do you owe? 10,000? Make it 5,000. How does that sound to you?
I must make a comment here as the narrator, listening to the drama as it goes on. Danielle, you use more than two words. I am astounded. Why did you use more than two words with these people?
Tough times. Smart planning. Future friends.
How clever. Danielle used the last few hours of her management to manage herself a nice future. Did you see what I did with that little thing about management and management and how she managed to manage the future? I should go up into stand-up comedy. Okay, Danielle, I'll just be quiet and goodbye. Goodbye, everybody!
Well, the story out east. Hopefully Danny and Danielle will help us as we move into Luke 16. This is an interesting but challenging parable to understand. So Cecilia, would you start reading right away at verse 1 of 16, the parable of Jesus told?
Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I have heard about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. So the manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill. Sit down quickly and make it 400. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager, because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?
Well, the confusion in this parable is there's two things going on. First, the manager is called dishonest. That happens before. The second thing is he's called shrewd. That happens secondly. So it's because of his dishonesty that he's going to lose his job. Now, as he's putting the books together to hand over, he's acting shrewdly, actually helping the manager get some of the money in that he should have been doing a long time before.
I got to ask, what exactly does shrewd mean? I mean,
acting clever, acting in a way that's like, oh, now that was smart to do. That is a good plan. And see, sometimes that's what it takes in business. When people are overwhelmed with the debt, they can't do everything. But they, if you cut the bill in half, oh, I can handle that now. And so you get some of it. And what Jesus was trying to say here is with us. It's not that, put the dishonest part away. He's trying to say we should be being shrewd. We should be using our worldly wealth, things of this earth, to help with spiritual things. Because again, an earthly story has a heavenly meaning. The earthly story is someone who was losing his job. He was smart, finally, and did something shrewd. The heavenly meaning is we should be doing something smart spiritually. And so when we use our things, like giving 10% to the Lord, giving to charities that help spread the gospel, that's using our worldly wealth to help in heavenly things. If, by the way, as he says, if you're going to be dishonest with a little, you'll be dishonest with a lot. And so God wants us to be honest, but if we're trustworthy with a little, we can be trusted with a lot. And so either way, he then adds on to that, who's going to give you property to manage? God wants to give us things to manage for his kingdom. Think about all the things you have in your house, your apartment, not only physical things, but relationships as well. These are all gifts God has given to you and to me to use shrewdly for the kingdom's good, to share his gospel, to help other people know about Jesus and his love. And here's the final flip back to the first part of it. Hey, we're all sinners. Why would God want to trust us? That's where the dishonest part comes in. That manager was dishonest. But we've been sinful, but we're forgiven. And God now gifts us with things to use in his service. Now, Cecilia, I stopped you in the middle of your sentence, and so you could hit record, because I think what you're saying is so on point.
Yeah. Usually in a parable, at least the ones I've noticed in the Bible, Jesus has someone you like, and often someone you don't.
Right, right, right.
But in this case, you want to like the master, you know he's right, and you want to hate the manager.
Uh-huh.
In this case, Jesus is asking us not necessarily to approve of what the manager is doing, but you got to admire his strategy.
Yeah, yeah. We got to like the guy we don't necessarily like.
And it's called love the sinner, hate the sin.
Yeah, and because he was being blasted by the Pharisees. Hey, you're giving good God stuff to sinners. Yep, you and me. Well, Jesus spoke about money in general, but now he's going to be more specific and pointed to you and to me as well as people then. If you could read verses 13 to 15, Cecilia.
No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." Hmm. Pastor Dave, do you remember the show Family Ties from the 80s?
Is that the one about the family and Alex is the oldest son?
That's the one.
Mallory is a sister. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. It was fun. He was always all about money and politics, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember one particular show where he's the chairman of the prom committee.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked this one girl to go out to the prom. Mm-hmm. And she refuses. She's got someone who's already asked her. So he asks another girl. This girl really likes him. And and she agrees very happily. Mm. But then the first girl comes to him and says, "Oh, my boyfriend and I had a fight. Will you please take me to the prom?" Sure. Yes, I'll be glad to.
I can just see where this is going.
Uh-huh. So he's got this elaborate plan for how he's going to keep both girls apart. And he's going back and forth from the one to the other, to the one.
Oh, what all sitcoms are made of.
Uh-huh. Until the teacher starts thanking people. And he says, "And to the chairman of the prom committee, who's done so much work, I would like you and your date to lead the last dance."
Which girl came?
Both.
They both.
And he says something like, "My credibility seems to be a suspect right now."
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
Oh, too. Yeah. In a way, that's a perfect example, Cecilia, to what Jesus was saying. You can't serve two masters.
Yeah.
Not that he was trying to serve two masters, but two dates. Mm-hmm. And you can play them back and forth. But finally, you're caught.
Yes, you are.
And that's the way it is with God and money. If you're always after money, God's going to know it. And if you're always after God, well, money will know it. No, not quite, because money doesn't know anything. That's the thing. It's our false idol. It's a false God. And that's really what Jesus is trying to get to, is if you always seek and serve God, he'll take care of the money issue. Oh, it might not be all that you want, but he'll take care of you. And I would think the Pharisees are sneering, "Oh, come on, Jesus. Money's what makes the world go round."
Yeah.
Well, actually, God is who makes the world go round. Duh. Money's helpful and it's needful for things. But if all we're going for is that, we're serving it. And that's kind of what Jesus was trying to say. Keep your heart and focus on the one, the most important. And then second, the money.
Because Jesus Christ served us and gave us his all.
Not just money, but his very life. Yeah, exactly.
Close time.
Is that you, Danielle?
Yep.
I thought I recognized you. Well, okay. Danielle is going to help us close. You can write us at
info.
That's spelled INFO at
not dash alone.
NOT dash ALOALONE
.net.
And remember, oh, will Danielle say more than two words?
We are not alone.
Do come back again to room 4216.
And now we have the credits. Take it away there, Cecilia.
Money, Money, Money from Mamma Mia soundtrack. Flowers on the Wall, the Statler Brothers. And interlude musicians, Robert Vaughn and Terry Nord.